This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I welcome Jeremy Zakas. He is in Sydney, Australia, New South Wales. And we first look at the vaccine and the virus, because that has determined the Australian economy and the social ability of Australia to recover from the pandemic these many weeks. We'll then turn to the very large and international story of AUKUS, the alliance between Australia, the United Kingdom, and the United States. Jeremy, a very good day to you. It is coming spring. You tell me it's unusually chilly. But at the same time, the lockdown continues. You're in New South Wales. It is not the same everywhere. Following this story these last days, it does not appear that New South Wales has changed its rules in any fashion since last week. What is the status? How long can you go out? What is the expectation of the lockdown lifting at least slightly? Good day to you.
G'day, John. Well, you're correct. At the moment, the lockdown has not changed for us here in New South Wales, but we are still able to go outside for exercise. This is unlimited periods outside per day, but we still have to maintain social distancing. So you can't go to a gym, for example. You can't go to closed spaces. You can't go to the fitness centres that we love so much. But the good news is we are able to go out. But as you mentioned, it's cold here. It is absolutely freezing. It's unseasonably cold here for a springtime. So the lockdown, while it is bad, most of us are already staying inside. But I should mention that on the weekend, we did have another incident, I guess you could say, at Bondi Beach, where effectively thousands of people took to the beach, technically in breach of lockdown because of the social distancing rules. So the New South Wales government is again looking closely at whether or not there could be another super spreader event or whether or not they need to bring restrictions back in. So, John, look, it's like a rubber band. We start to see the restrictions ease, we start to see the loosening up, then we might just see it pulled back and tighten again. It's almost like an elastic effect.
We're looking at Melbourne continuing its upset and protests, although they're said to have fizzled out, perhaps because it's the cold, Jeremy, there'd be no excitement outside. But there are protests throughout the country, smaller. I'm seeing this headline from Newsweek: police arrested more than 60 of the estimated 2,000 people protesting Australia's lockdown measures. This within these last days. This is 5 days old. This was in Victoria. So Victoria seems to be the center of the protest, unless it's also in New South Wales, is it?
No, John, you're correct. It was very interesting because this protest in Victoria initially started off with the Construction, Forestry, Maritime, Mining and Energy Union. It was basically a protest about conditions for the workers, firstly about tea rooms of all things, their general breaks, and then they also tacked on the requirement by many construction sites that they may have to have fully vaccinated workers only. That was the initial part of the protest. And then as the week went on, we saw more extreme fringe elements who were protesting general law and order about the police state coming in onto it, to a point where we literally had thousands of people shut down Melbourne. Now, the 60 protesters you speak about, they were the initial arrests. After that, there were more than 200 on the Wednesday. Then there were many, many fines issued. So we're looking at several hundred people who have had some contact with the police because of these protests. And these aren't simple protests, John. These were fairly violent. There were individuals out there who were punching police, individuals throwing urine on journalists and reporters. So these violent protests turned pretty ugly pretty quickly. But the reality is it was really a fringe element that seemed to be maybe associated with the extreme right. We don't quite know yet. The investigations are ongoing. But it's simmered down for now. But we have to wonder, are we going to see more of these down in Melbourne at some point in the near future?
Is something different about Melbourne than Sydney, than Brisbane? Is this city a concentration of one or more protest movements? Has this happened before?
It actually has. Melbourne has a long history of protests, even if you look right back to the year 2000, where you had they called them the S11 protests, which was an activist protest against various environmental change policies and various other things. And all through its history, even since then, these protest movements have an anti-government stance. You'll see protests pretty much year in, year out. The other difference between Melbourne and certainly the other cities is that they've been in lockdown probably the longest and probably had the harshest lockdowns than anybody else. They've literally been confined to their homes in some cases for many months on end. And I think this was probably a releasing of a lot of pressure in that respect. The Melbourne, the Victorian government, I should say, hasn't really dedicated a clear path to how they're going to come out of lockdown. There's just been news releases as some conjecture about how they'll do it. So Melburnians don't know what's coming up in the future as well, which I think all came together there. And we saw it in the form of those violent protests.
You mentioned to me that the Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, has recently been on the television, in the news, making announcements about where you are in vaccination and how long he believes you'll have to wait until you go outside. What have you learned?
Yes, that's correct. We hit a milestone this week. There are now 51% of Australians over the age of 16 completely vaccinated. That's the two shots. That equates to roughly 11 million people. But Prime Minister Morrison did make the announcement today that once we hit 80%, that's 80%, the states should start opening up. And effectively, the federal government can't force the states to open up, but he's made it very strong in his rhetoric that the premiers absolutely should consider at 80%, it's time to open up. We can't stay locked down forever.
And, Jeremy, is the economy struggling with the lockdown? I noted a couple weeks back there was suddenly a limitation to how much beer you could order per household. Are there other rationing mandates about alcohol, about anything during the lockdown? And is the economy struggling?
Yes, absolutely. And if you know anything about Australians, John, you take away our beer, there's often issues. But you're right, we were limited to two cartons of beer only, and it applied to spirits as well. Many people were hit hard, unfortunately. But the economy, sadly, is struggling. The entertainment industry is really, really decimated right now. Despite government bailouts, there's really no substitute for actually having customers into the restaurants and cafes. A lot of cafes have reinvented themselves. A lot of restaurants have reinvented themselves with delivery services and takeaway services. People can go in and pick up the food now, but it's just not the same. So I think what it looks like now, the Prime Minister with the announcement about the 80%, which could effectively line up with around Christmas time, cafes, restaurants are all hoping that's going to be true. Everybody's banking on that. When we get into the holiday period around Christmas, we may be opening up, which could be enough to help kickstart the economy. But honestly, with the billions in losses, we've still got a long way to go to get back to normal.
Here's the puzzle, Jeremy. We've struggled with all the iterations of the pandemic here in America, here especially in New York. And right now, the young people are back in Manhattan, and the economy is strengthening. As we speak, we're living with the Delta variant, just as deadly as the one that's come to Australia. However, Australia has that ahead of you, because when you open, the vaccine is not absolute proof that you won't get Delta. It will come to you. So is there debate in Australia about this lockdown not being as effective as you first thought?
There is debate, absolutely. Certainly in scientific circles, there's debate about how long and when the release point for lockdown should be. But the debate is also between the federal government and the states as well. The states are resisting coming out of lockdown because of the fear that as soon as lockdown's over, as soon as they release everybody back to the community, it's just going to get worse and we'll go backwards. So people, when I say people, the government in particular, and certainly advocacy groups are looking closely at what's happening around the world, but there are just polar opposite opinions about whether or not we should try and live with Delta variant, we should try and wait it out, and hopefully there'll be a vaccine in the future. And this is part of the problem with the mixed messaging that we get state to state in Australia. Each state has its own opinions. The federal government certainly sometimes has differing opinions. And it's just an ongoing debate, but the action normally falls by the wayside. Normally, the lockdowns just remain in place. There's really no other movements. And as I mentioned with the Melbourne riots, that was partly the spark that triggered them. So it is a frustrating thing we have here, John. And unfortunately, I think we're just going to one day have to, as far as the federal government's concerned, open up and just deal with the problem.
Jeremy Zakas in Sydney, Australia. There's a bigger protest for us to address next. The protest from France, the protest from China, directed at Australia. This is Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.